But before that, I just wanted to let you guys know that you can see these papers that we have here taped to the door and to the chalkboard about an after party that we'll be having. I don't know if you can fit this many people, but definitely we can all get together and go out for some beers afterwards. So yeah, that will be sort of the location around there. Yeah, and we'll now start with the talk by Greg Mefford. So Greg has been a member of the sort of Beam community, specifically more involved with Elixir, with Nerves. He's a member of the EEF observability group. And he's also been heavily involved with the effort of distributed tracing within the community. And today he's going to present about OpenTelemetry. So yeah, give it up for Greg.
All right, thank you. So before I dive into specifically what OpenTelemetry is and how it's a success story, I want to talk about the problem that OpenTelemetry tries to solve, which is observability. So you may have seen one of these instructions before where you have to push the button and then you receive the bacon when you're in the restroom. So if you push the button and you don't receive bacon, you're going to be heavily disappointed, right? So let's start with, let's science this situation. What can we observe about the situation? First of all, no bacon. This is very disappointing. 1 out of 5 stars. So there is warm air coming out, though. Is this supposed to cook the bacon? It seems like that's not really safe. There's also lots of noise. So this machine's making a lot of noise. Is it broken, or is it supposed to do that? I don't really know how this thing works. Okay, the noise stopped. Definitely broken. No bacon came out. So if I engage my silver lining machine, I can say, well, at least it responded to inputs, right? I pressed the button, something happened. There was a lot of correlation there, so probably it's because I pressed the button. So when we talk about observability, often your vendors will tell you that the pillars of observability are logs, metrics, and distributed traces. I actually like to think about it more as different aspects on a cube of looking into your system from different dimensions. So like the faces on the cube, the aspects of observability are related on one axis and different on another axis. So if we consider distributed tracing, for example, you can learn a lot about what your system is doing in particular requests. You can see if there was some kind of an alert or an error that was raised, maybe how long it took. And then if you aggregate those over time for different requests, you can maybe learn a lot about the metrics in a period of time. And then if you also have logs, then maybe you can learn something from an auditing perspective, like bacon jam detected, something like that. And each aspect tells kind of a different story about what your system's doing inside. So traces tell a story. They tell a story about particular requests. They're usually categorized with metadata, tag metadata, and also data about what happened in that request up to the user. They're usually distributed over all of your different services, so you can see what happened in a microservices architecture or a monolithic architecture, or maybe even across different vendor middlewares. They're usually sampled because your vendor usually charges you based on how many you're sending, so you want to sample those down to just some useful percentage, not like millions of traces per hour, because you'll never look at all those anyway. Metrics tell you a different story. So they're usually about types of operations, like how many of something happened in a certain given period of time, whether they were successful or errors. And they're usually aggregated by a period of time and some tag about the metric. Logs tell yet another story. They're usually in very fine detail, exactly something that happened at a particular point in time. And hopefully, if you're lucky, they're structured so that you can search them and aggregate over different indices. And usually they're collected from all your services into some central, usually vendor-hosted platform, and you pay a lot of money for that. So I want to talk a little bit about distributed tracing theory, because that seems like when I'm talking to developers, that seems like the thing that people are less familiar with already. And it all starts with the core concept of distributed tracing as a span. A span has a name, and it has a start time and an end time. And then also it can have various attributes where there are some semantic conventions, for example, for HTTP client-server interactions and databases and things like that. But in general, it can be anything you want. Each span knows about what its parent span is, so that you can have this hierarchy of traces, and you can draw this waterfall graph or flame chart, depending on what you want to call it. And then all of those spans know that they belong to the same trace. So there's a kind of a trace ID and a parent span ID. The top level span in the trace doesn't have a parent, so that's the root span. And that's kind of how the collector knows that this is the top level of the trace. We can also model in these waterfall charts parallelism. So in this case, we have two HTTP client gets happening in parallel on the left there. And then the results from both of those things are aggregated into this handle responses section of the processing. And you might do some kind of a database call in there, et cetera, something else.